Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Advice for little kids from a former little kid.
Grown-ups always ask, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's super annoying. Just say whatever pops into your head. Firefighting princess or president of Mars. You're a kid. The kids change their minds. It's not legally binding.
An Ohio tax-free 529 plan is made for change. Savings can be used for college or all kinds of career training, nationwide, or even rolled over into a Roth IRA. So take some of that tax refund and get started at collegeadvantage.com.
I honestly think psychologically there's a bit of a mess there. And I think it comes from before what we're talking about with Real Madrid.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Daily.
I'm delighted to say I am joined by three-time Paralympian Nicole Turner. Nicole, you're very welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Is your first the time in Off the Ball Studios?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot different in person.
I hope it's a good kind of different.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. So you recently announced your retirement, which is a weird thing to say to someone so young, but how has retired life been treating you?
It's been lovely. I won't lie. Yeah, I think I am 22, but I think I needed to look at the bigger picture, and if other people look at the bigger picture, like you've just said, I went to 3 Paralympics, so I think it was my time to kind of hang up my hat and goggles, like I said. But retired life is nice. Unofficially, I've been retired since September, but I think even in the past week, the amount of lovely messages I've got, it has kind of showed me the impact it had on other people as well as myself.
Yeah, what was the thought process going into your retirement? Like, was this a decision that you had made before the Paralympics at the summer, or was it after that?
No, it was after. I think, like, looking back on Rio, when I was in Rio, I was 14. My parents, my coaches were like, right, you're going to go to Rio, you're going to go to Tokyo, you're going to go to Paris, blah, blah, blah. And back then I was like, no, that's 8 years away. Like, then you just roll from cycle to cycle, like the years just fly. Being so young after Rio, never considered retirement. I was on such a high after Tokyo. It took me a while to get back to swimming, but retirement was never considered. And even before Paris, like I think it has been a rocky road since Tokyo. I have had lots of highs, I've had lots of lows. I haven't been at my best since Tokyo, but I think even before Paris, I didn't really have an intention to say goodbye to the sport after Paris. But then the whole way through Paris was, minus my performance, one of the best games I've been at socially with Team Ireland. We've had the strongest bond we've ever had on the team. And even in Paris, because you're so in the moment and in the bubble, you don't think of outside life and what life looks like when you get home. So I came home and I said to my coach, she said to me she'd reach out to me after 4 weeks, and she did, and I was like, hell no, I'm not ready to go back to the pool. And she was totally understanding. She was like, that's absolutely fine. We'll stay another few weeks and then we'll reconnect again. But then when we reconnected, like, it was a good middle end of October. Like, I'd nearly been out of the pool a month and a half to 2 months, and I hadn't missed swimming, and I was enjoying life, going on a few holidays, living the normal life, as people would say. And I think because I hadn't missed swimming, it was kind of my body and my mind telling me, do you know what, you're ready to finish. And then that's when I did look at the bigger picture. Like I've just said, I've been to 3 Paralympics. I won my Paralympic medal that I always wanted to win. And a few bonuses with world and European medals came with that too. So I think I am a happy swimmer finishing up.
Yeah. Does feel like you're very much at peace with the whole situation, that it almost, you came to it naturally and gradually rather than setting a defined time in your future somewhere. It's just having that little bit of time and space was exactly what you needed.
100%. And I think like that, like from day one, day one, I never had, like, I never said to myself on day one in 2016 in Rio, right, I want to go to Rio, I want to go to Tokyo, I want to go to Paris. And even like that, I was like that in a swim season, like a Paralympic cycle is 4 years, but I broke it down into the year. So, and even then breaking it down smaller in the year, what did I have in the next 4 weeks? And I was like that with my swimming career. I took it step by step. I wasn't putting my pressure on myself of saying I'm going to go to this many Paralympic Games. I want to win this many medals. I want to swim at these many places. So I took it step by step, and I kind of said that to other people as well, because people on the outside, like, it was amazing, and the like support that they were is absolutely amazing. But like that, they were like, oh, you're so young and fit, you're going to go on to 5 Paralympic Games. And I knew myself, I'm not. And like, if I did, it would have been amazing. But I think I just wanted to take it step by step. If I made it to 5 Paralympic Games, I did. But after number 3, I knew I was ready to let go.
Well, because you never know as well what's going to happen. You know, one injury and that's the scope of your year, or even the scope of your next couple of years, totally changed, totally different. So in a way, it's probably better for you mentally to take it step by step in that sense.
100%. Touch wood, in my whole swim career, I only ever had one injury and it didn't last that long. But I think like that, I do perform in high pressure situations, but in the whole of my swim career, I myself and other people realised I performed at my best and my highest when I was happy and free. So that's what I did. And then I didn't put pressure on myself being like, I want to make this, I want to go to there. I just let it roll and I let it roll and I rolled with it. Like, I knew year by year there was set things that I did want to do, but long term, I wasn't putting pressure on myself being like, I'm going to be here at this age or winning medals at this age.
Mm. Take us back then to that first Olympic Games or Paralympic Games. You're so young. Like, that must have been incredibly strange to be a teenager competing at the highest level. I know we've interviewed Ellen Keane a couple of times about it, and she talks about going to her first Paralympics when she was really young and almost viewing it as a playground of sorts, yeah, because, you know, she was like, I could go and get a coffee and no one would tell me, no, you can't have that coffee.
Exactly. No, and that's exactly it. Like, I think the likes of Rio, I was 14, Ellen was 21. And then we had two other teammates. Alva was 17 and James Scully was 23, I think. Like that, I was the youngest member of the swim team, but also the youngest member of the Irish team. And like Ellen said, it is like a playground. And to me, it didn't hit me that I was at a Paralympic Games. It didn't hit me that I was at the biggest stage of my career that I could ever get at. And I didn't get nervous. I rolled with it day by day. I swam 5 events. I made 5 finals. And like back home, my family, my friends, my support staff, my coaches, they were like, Nicole, this is amazing. You don't realise what you're doing here. And I didn't. I went with it. Like, because even in interviews in the past few days, like, people have asked me, when did you realise you were something? And I, like, not even that I was something, but like, when did I realize that it was a profession and it was a proper,
you're on athlete, the big international, yeah, stage, and people knew your name and
literally. But in Rio, I didn't look at it like that. Like, I was 14, I was in second year at school. Like, when I came home from Rio, I took 2 days off and then I went to school again, and I was raring to go. And I think it was because of the excitement. I did want to get back to school. I wanted to see my school friends, and the support from the school was absolutely amazing. There was a big massive assembly with the whole school. So there was that element to it as well. And then I just went and lived a normal 14-year-old life again, going back to school and studying. But I think it is mad. Like, back then, I didn't see myself as being a Paralympian so big, so bride, I guess. And then it was only as years went on that I was right. I took it as a profession. I took it seriously. And I was like, right, okay, this is business.
Was it easier in a sense being that young and doing it in that you didn't know the pressures that were there, or it was more exciting than it was daunting?
100%. It was so much easier. Like, I think if I looked at Tokyo to Rio, like when I was in Tokyo, I felt a lot of pressure, and it was very good pressure and it paid off. But I think I was the young 14-year-old in Rio. In Rio, I was half a second away from a bronze medal. So I think from that, people are like, right, she's too young this time. She hasn't done it, but she'll do it at her next one. And then COVID happened. A lot went on in COVID. Our swimming switched up. We put our heart and soul into swimming. Like, we were training on our own for, I think, we came away from the club and there was four of us training on our own for 4 months up until the games. So I think it was very lonely in a way, but then we made that effort because there was so few of us to support each other and back each other as best we could. But then in Tokyo, it's kind of, not that I had to black out the outside noise, but it was like, right, look where you've come from Rio. I won bronze at World Champs the year before. So it was like, you've done it on the world stage once. Can you do it again? And like I said, when I won my medal in Tokyo, the first bit of feeling was relief. And it was relief for everyone. I think it was relief for me. I took 2 years out of school. It was relief for my family and friends because my family gave up. My mom gave up her career. My dad worked a full-time job to provide for the family. And then my brothers made so much sacrifice with their lives for me, and just the likes of my coaches. So it was kind of relief for me, but for everyone else as well. And I think, like, if you'd fast backwards.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
The highest achievers among us are the people still striving, still reaching for something. The people who aren't satisfied to stay where they are and want to keep climbing higher. And it's those people who approach the impossible and embrace it. There's a vehicle for people like that. It's called the Defender. The Defender is an icon reimagined for a new generation of explorers through thoroughly modern design. Its interior is modern and functional, with rich material finishes and quality craftsmanship. When you're in a Defender, you can tell the interior is built for purpose. Luxury appointments throughout and practical storage options ensure you adventure in comfort. This is a vehicle capable of great things and engineered to meet challenges head-on. Wherever you're headed, experience the Defender's legendary capability, both off-road and on. And there's a family of vehicles for Defender. Meet the Defender 90, Defender 110, and the 8-seat Defender 130. Are you ready to embrace the impossible? Explore the Defender at LandRoverUSA.com.
Advice for little kids from a former little kid.
Grown-ups always ask, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's super annoying. Just say whatever pops into your head. Firefighting princess or president of Mars. You're a kid. The kids change their minds. It's not legally binding.
An Ohio tax-free 529 plan is made for change. Savings can be used for college or all kinds of career training, nationwide, or even rolled over into a Roth IRA. So take some of that tax refund and get started at collegeadvantage.com.
There are some things in life that just shouldn't be forgotten, like bringing your keys when you leave the house, setting your fantasy lineup, and most importantly, having Hidden Valley Ranch to watch the game. Especially if you're having pizza. Those creamy, zesty, cool ranch flavors take each cheesy, melty bite to an unforgettable level. Hidden Valley Ranch. Only serious about flavor.
3 minutes before I won that medal, was I feeling the pressure? Yeah. Did it pay off? Yeah. Whereas that's, I think, what was a bit disheartening about Paris. I think, like I've said in interviews before, once you win a medal at a Paralympic Games, it's the highest you can get. Like, I know I didn't get gold, but it's a podium. It's the highest you can ever get. And then I think it's seen that, oh, she's won a Paralympic medal here. She's going to do it again and again and again. A lot can happen in it was 3 years instead of four this time. A lot can happen in that 3 years. Like I said, I was the fittest I've ever been in Tokyo. It's the fastest I've ever swam. But then I feel like going into Paris, it was like, right, Nicole's done this before. it was nearly as if she will do it again. And that's where I myself blacked it out, and everyone else told me to just focus on yourself. And then I think that's where it was kind of a bit disheartening, performing the way I performed. But those who knew me knew the way I was swimming in that 3 years since Tokyo and Paris, and understood it was like, right, okay, we know you've not been at your best. This is completely understandable. We know you did your best, so we're proud of you.
It is interesting the amount of elite athletes that I've talked to and who've competed at the likes of the Paralympic Games, and that they say their first feeling is relief.
Yeah.
Because they know how much that they've sacrificed. They know how much the people around them have sacrificed. Very rarely do you hear them say it's, you know, utter elation or a celebratory feeling. It's almost just like a big, whew,
honestly, that. Honestly, it is. And I think it took me days to realise. Like, I'll admit, the day after, so we had like little bedside lockers and my medal went in there. And the day I woke up and I looked in the drawer and to make sure it wasn't a dream. But like, other than that, in long term, it was elation, but in the moment, it was like that. I took a deep breath and I was like, I did it. And that's like that. And I think that does come with representing your country. You do take other people's feelings with you, like even the likes of retirement now. Not that it's affected me, but like it's had an impact on me, but it's also had an impact on my family and friends and their lives. Like the likes of my friends came to Paris. My family have traveled all around the world with me. So it is going to be a bit different for them, but
they don't have excuses now to go to far flung parts of the world to watch you compete.
No, exactly. And I think like they're the moments that they're going to remember in long term. It's going to be like, wow, look where we went with Nicole in her 9 years of swimming. And that is really, it is really nice. And it's nice that I was able to give them back something for all their support that they gave me as well.
Mm. So, retired now, enjoying life, going on a few holidays, not missing swimming at all. What's the, and again, it feels silly asking a 22-year-old this, but like career plan, life plan, is it just kind of give yourself some time not competing at that elite level or?
Yeah, I think it is exactly that. And I think like that's what everyone's saying, what's next. Honestly, I'm taking a break. It still does feel like, I won't lie, when I announced my retirement last Tuesday, it did feel a lot more real than it has done in the past 3 months. But I think even now it does feel like an extended kind of break. Like with swimming, we'd swim 48 weeks of the year. We'd get 4 weeks off at the end of a swim season. So it does feel like nearly an extended break. But I think as life goes on, it'll be like, oh no, this is reality. But at this moment in time, I am still taking it as that kind of extended break and seeing where it takes me.
Mm. What was the reception like when you announced your retirement from the public?
It was amazing. Like literally within minutes, people were ringing me, and it's really nice. Like those really close to me, so my friends and family, like they've obviously known I've been retired for the past 3 months. But on the day, it was like they knew I was announcing it, so it was like best of luck. But then afterwards, it was like, I hope you're okay. I'm here if you need me, and it was just nice that like. And they meant for if you need me for a normal chat outside of the pool, nothing to do with your retirement. You're Nicole. You're a normal 22-year-old. We can talk about anything. But then on the other side, it was really nice kind of reading messages. And I think interviews as well, they're really nice because, again, speaking about my whole swim career, but messages as well, people are like, thank you, Nicole. And I think it's really nice to see, again, going back to the impact I had on other people as well as the impact swimming had on me as well. So it has been a really nice week. Like I think, like I said, it felt a lot more real when I did announce it on Tuesday. But it is nice now. It's nice that I can go and live my life and people understand, right, she's retired, she's living her life, let her be.
And you're studying in Grange Gorman.
In TU Dublin.
TU Dublin. And it's sports and business management, yeah. Is it, that you're doing? So you actually haven't gone that far away from
no,
the sporting
exactly.
side of things.
I've second half of second year to finish, and then I have 3 and 4 to do. And it is really nice. It is very relatable, especially when I was in the water. Like, we have such a strong team behind us of support staff, coaches, sports science and med. And with that degree, it kind of gives me an insight into their day-to-day as well. So it is very relatable and it is nice still having that connection to the sport.
Is it, could you ever see yourself going back into swimming, maybe not necessarily as a competitor, but working in that sphere in some way?
Yeah, 100%. I've always said that. Like, I said it when I was swimming and I probably still say it now. At this moment in time, because I've been so involved, I do feel like I do need a break. But I think in years to come, I would like to be on the flip side, whether it be psychology, whether it be team lead, whatever, go into the Paralympic Games as a staff member rather than an athlete.
It is funny, we had Jessie Barr in earlier, and obviously she's a former athlete. Yeah. Now she's gone down that psychology route, and how we were just saying how many athletes... Mm-hmm. see that as something that they can really help and contribute to after they've retired. Because obviously you've gone through the experiences. You know what it feels like to stand there waiting for the buzzer to go, to dive in the water. Yeah. You know what it feels like when you put your hand on the wall and it's either a good result or a bad result. And that so many people are now seeing more and more worth in it as well.
100%. And we always say that like 90% of our coaches and supports team, like they've either been swimmers, runners, whatever in their past career, represented Ireland, represented at national level, and it's just they have so much, like people who aren't necessarily involved in sport and go to college and study it are still amazing, but I just think there is that bit more of an understanding if you've been in it yourself, then taking that with you into a coaching role, a psychology role, to a sports team then. So I think, yeah, down the line, I probably will end up on the flip side.
A few more holidays and stuff before you go down that route again. So on reflection then, is Tokyo the moment that stands out from your sporting career, your swimming career?
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird one because obviously, as you were saying, it was COVID. You know, it wasn't that you could have everyone there.
No, exactly. I think, yeah, winning my medal in Tokyo, all the effort that went in there from me and everyone around me, coming home, the reception I got at home when I came home from Tokyo was something I'll remember for the rest of my life. But then I think if someone asked me what was the best games, I would say Paris.
Oh, yeah.
Minus performance, like I said, Team Ireland were, not that we've never been a proper team before, but we had such a strong bond across every single sport, not just even the swim team. And then I think socially wise, the Paris closing ceremony was absolutely amazing. And it was just nice having, like, I think most of us had like 3 or 4 days before the closing ceremony, up until the closing ceremony, and then we went home the day after. It was just really nice having them social days to do whatever we want, spend time, go out in Paris, go for dinner. We didn't have that in Tokyo, and I think that's kind of, that is what stands out to me. And I think people always say to me, like, I went to 3 Paralympic Games. Rio was a good Paralympic Games, not an amazing Paralympic Games. Tokyo was amazing for me because I won my medal, but then there was nothing outside of the pool. Whereas Paris was a real proper, we got everything. We got the sport, we got the social, we got the memories. And I think that's something that I'll take with me for the rest of my life.
It does seem from the outside that Games, for a lot of people, performance aside, was just spectacularly well run.
Yeah,
Paris seemed to suit the games so much in terms of what you could do. Everything was relatively central or accessible. Mm. And just anyone that I've talked to that went either as an athlete or a fan has had nothing but high things to say about it. And it is interesting that you kind of had that experience and then like ended, I suppose, on a high of sorts.
Exactly. And that's what I wanted to do. Like, I think, because people say to me, if you won a medal, you probably would still be swimming. And I think, if I did win a medal, I probably would have gone back to the pool. But I honestly think 3-4 months down the line, I would have been ready to let go and ready to finish. And then if I would have finished in the middle of a season, I would have been like, I don't really know how to feel. I've literally finished swimming on a Friday evening, say. And then that's that. And there's been no kind of celebration. Whereas, like you've just said, my last ever swim was in Paris. The Paris closing ceremony was my last time being with Team Ireland. So I think that's a nice memory to have that that was my last games and that's where I did finish my career.
You can put a nice bow on things.
Yes, 100%.
So any plans for the coming months or just enjoying the freedom?
Honestly, just enjoying the freedom. No, and like that, like I've said previously, like it is nice just being that bit more free. If I if I get a call on a Friday evening, do I want to go for dinner? I can say yes. I've no training on Saturday morning. It is just nice rolling with day to day sometimes and not necessarily like with some on a Monday morning, I'd have to plan my week being like, right, this looks like this, this looks like this. What am I doing at the weekend? What am I doing the following week? That'll affect my weekend. So I think it is just nice.
So what you're eating and literally, recovery, all that sort of thing.
It is really nice just being able to kind of free roll and see where the path takes me.
Mm. Well, congratulations on Thank a brilliant you. Career. And I hope you do enjoy the next couple of months. It is well deserved. Starting out swimming when you were only 14 professionally is, and I'm trying to, when you were talking about it, I was trying to think what I was doing at 14. Probably stressing over the junior cert was about the high of it at the time. But thank you so much for coming in. It's been really great to chat to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Off the Ball Daily.
I honestly think psychologically there's a bit of a mess there. And I think it comes from before what we're talking about with Real Madrid.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.